There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. I will be your host today, Hatch, with my other boy in the building.
Yes,
you know. I'm gonna call you Mr. Owens today. You ain't T.O. You Mr. Owens today. You're gonna sound like the uncle down the street.
No, I'm T.O. To everybody that's listening, ain't nothing changed. Mr. Owens, T.O., it's all the same. Terrell. Hey, we have a very special guest today, and I cannot wait for us to bring her on the show. She is, when you talk about a survivor, and I ain't talking about one of those Beyonce survivors.
Right, right.
This right here, she is a true survivor. We're going to bring to the show today Rebecca Gregory, who survived the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. And this is going to be a treat for everyone that's listening today. So everybody, get your popcorn ready. But let me tell y'all this. You have to go subscribe to her podcast. It's called Pain to Purpose. Mm-hmm. And trust me, it is all that in a bag of chips. Everybody go
in a bag of popcorn.
That too. Nice, Chas. Nice, Hatch. Definitely go check out her podcast. She's the host of it. It's called Pain to Purpose. And trust me, definitely tune in, because this girl right here, she is truly a survivor and a person with purpose.
Coming up next, Rebecca Gregory on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Well, welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yep. Here I am. It's a sunny day every day. Everywhere.
You got to say your name first, dog. They don't know who you are, man. You got to intro yourself, dog.
They already know who I am.
They know by your voice.
They hear me, but they see me. You know what I mean? But yeah, Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. You've already made the introduction. That's my guy, Hatch. And this is me, T.O., and we're here with Miss Rebecca Gregory, the 2013.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this hour that we have you. We know you got a busy schedule, but I came across the platform. You're on TikTok, and then I started researching you a little bit, and then I saw you on Instagram. And I was inspired by your story. I had no idea who you were. Obviously, like I said, TikTok is the thing now, especially us going through quarantine. It started out as just a platform for kids, but now everybody is on TikTok. I mean, dogs, everybody with one leg, two legs, three legs, four legs, everybody. And just watching your spirit, your energy. And me not knowing what you had gone through. So everybody that's listening, we're talking to Rebecca Gregory, 2013 survivor of the Boston Marathon bombing. It brings me great joy to have you on the show, number one. But again, you have gone through so much, much more than any average human being could imagine going through. You're an author of a book, host of Pain to Purpose podcast, founder of your Rebecca's Angels Foundation. You're doing so much. In the book that you're an author of is called Taking My Life Back. Can you give us share with us a little bit about kind of this whole process?
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. It's an honor to be on your old show. And I just hope that you have a lot of popcorn ready, because it's a story.
We do. We have a lot for you.
Yeah. I feel like we could talk for hours, because, you know, there's just so much. It's been such a journey. But in 2013, I survived the Boston Marathon bombing. And what's funny is everyone always thinks that I was going there to run. So they're like, oh my gosh, you're this amazing marathoner. And how did you do that? And I'm like, no. I was on the sidelines eating chocolate covered pretzels, wondering why anyone would ever run 26.2 miles for the fun of it.
Right. But what even made you go to Boston, like go to this one time, the Boston Marathon, this one time? Because I think in an interview I seen that you say you've never been to Boston.
Yeah.
Right? So like, what was your thought process to even go to the city and watch the marathon?
Well, we could have a whole nother episode on that too. Dating a guy at the time, and his mom had qualified to run the race. And so it was really weird. And I think this is where intuition comes into play, because I had a lot of red flags prior to going to Boston. And I was even at work. I worked at a corporate housing firm, and I was at work at my desk. We had a quota to meet, and so I'm swamped. And I kept pushing my phone, or like getting on my phone to try and cancel my trip. So I'm like, there's no way, I just don't have time. But it was my 26th birthday weekend. My son, my five-year-old, was supposed to go up there with me. And I was like, you know what? I've never been to Boston. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I was on the sidelines, like a lot of people in life, when all of a sudden, you know, our lives blew up in our faces, and we had started at the 17-mile marker that day. We were holding up our signs, and I remember it was so funny because my son was five, so he was pretty little to be at a marathon, and all these people were running past us, and this guy proceeded to lose his breakfast right in front of Noah. And he had like one of those mother-son looks like, I don't get it either, buddy. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
That was the scene of the day. We had caught a Red Sox game. We had toured the city. It was just an amazing weekend. And we were all packed up and ready to go back home as soon as the marathon concluded. And we went down because we had a group of about nine people with us. And they said, hey, you know, let's make our way closer to the finish line so that we can see our runner cross. And I started making my way through the crowd, and I'm holding on to Noah, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why in the world did I bring my kindergartner to a marathon of half a million people? And it became quite clear that when we got down to the finish line, Noah was over it. I was kind of over it at this point. Mm-hmm. And he started getting really bored, and he was tugging on my clothes, and he said, Mom, when are we going to leave? And I had no idea. And
just getting restless.
Yeah, I mean, he's five, so
so
many runners an adult can watch. And I told him, I said, buddy, why don't you sit down on my feet and play in the rocks like you're a scientist? And there were no rocks. We were on asphalt, so that's really pushing it. But luckily, to a five-year-old, that was cool. And so he took his place on my feet with his back up against my shins, and that's where he was when a bomb in a backpack went off 3 feet behind him.
How long were you all sitting right there before that happened?
Well, and I don't really know the exact time, but it was very close to when it actually happened. It was almost like I had made that decision right before everything.
Right. And that's crazy.
By the grace of God, we're still here. It's a miracle in every sense of the word, because, you know, I ended up taking everything in the back of the legs, the torso and the left hand. And that's what she, my little boy. So Noah, because he was sitting down and I was standing up, my body was a human shield for him. And he had a cut to his bone on his right leg that they were able to stitch up. He had a piece of shrapnel graze the back of his head, but that was it. And so we're talking now, and I've had 70 different operations, and I lost my left leg below the knee. But my son is wonderful.
That is just amazing to, of course, to be talking to you, because, you know, as me and T are sitting here, it's like, we've only seen this in movies, literally, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't imagine or fathom, you know, the moment it happens, let alone the after effects, you know? So it's like when the bomb went off and you're, imagine laying there on the ground, like, what was your thought process? Like, am I alive? Did I go to heaven? Because I mean, I don't know what you could be thinking at that point.
Yeah. I mean, did you have like an out of body type of experience?
Right.
And I, like you said, I know you said obviously the bomb was, I guess, behind you guys. Do you know, like, in proximity, how far, how, you know, close or how far you were from the bomb to, you know,
Yeah, I know that we were less than 3 feet away from it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
If you think about just the proximity of 3 feet, I mean, we should have died that day. Yeah. You know, there's no rhyme or reason as to why we're here other than there's a bigger purpose. But
absolutely.
I'm glad that you brought up the emotional part, though, because, you know, I've gone through all of these different operations, and losing my leg was so hard, but it's the emotional. It's everything that we saw and experienced that day. So it was a war scene, and I looked around and I could only move my head, and my body was laying there, and I felt like it wasn't even mine anymore. I was in a pool of my own blood. My bones were laying next to me on the sidewalk. There were people's body parts all around us. There were nails, ball bearings, BBs, everything that these brothers packed into these pressure cooker bombs. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, those are the experiences that I had as a 26-year-old woman. So you can only imagine how my 5-year-old son felt, who had to relive or to live that too in the first place. And I remember kind of trying to move my head because that was the only thing that I could move at the time. And sure enough, I saw Noah and I could hear him, even though my eardrums were blown out. And I could hear him screaming, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." And he was in the arms of a police officer. And so I'm laying here thinking, I'm going to die. Right. And this is it for me. But I had that confirmation, at least, that Noah was okay. And he was going to survive. So it almost gave me that will to say, no matter what's happening in this situation, I've got to fight too, because I'm his mom, and he deserves to have a mom that's going to fight for him.
Did it register to you that that was a bomb? Because I mean, you know, we can go around, and if I hear a gunshot, I know the difference between gunshots and firecrackers, but I've never seen a bomb or heard a bomb. Like, did you know at the moment, like, a bomb went off?
I just knew that it was something evil. And the way that everything looked around me, I knew that my life was just changed forever. I had no idea that it was a bomb at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because in court, they showed video surveillance, because I went back and I had to testify in the trial of the remaining bomber, which we can get to. But in that video footage, one of the brothers bumped my shoulder on the way.
I've seen that footage. Wow.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, so like in hindsight, I remember, oh my gosh, what rude guy. But I would have never thought it was a terrorist that was getting ready to just change everything.
Right. And yeah, I mean, obviously to go through something so traumatic, I mean, just listening and hearing you share this story, I'm visualizing this whole entire moment. And you trying to fathom at this particular point in time, obviously you're lying there and you don't have your son. And again, it, like Hat said, this is almost, it seems like a movie. I feel like I'm listening. I'm hearing you speak and I'm watching a movie in my head. And obviously, like you said, your eardrums are just kind of just numb. You hear your son calling your name and the police officer has him in your arm. In his arms, can you elaborate? Because again, you've had 17 surgeries, like you said, over 65, almost 70 procedures done. And you talk about the emotional toll that it has taken on, that you have taken on. And it's, can you explain and share with us not only the emotional toll that it has taken, that you've taken on, but just the physical toll that you had to go through before you made the decision to obviously amputate your leg?
Sure. Yeah, the physical, I mean, when I talk about laying there, my body was hardly attached to me anymore. And I remember saying,
this is crazy.
My hand was completely degloved too. So I looked down and my bones were sticking completely out of my left hand and the skin was peeled all the way back to my head. And so I've had multiple surgeries. I told you, have a lot of popcorn.
You're
amazing.
Well, and the funny thing, so to back up just a little bit, 6 months before Boston, I got held up in a Walmart parking lot and robbed at gunpoint. I thought that was going to be the biggest highlight of my life.
Not even close.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
This is wild to hear this. And it's like, you say to yourself, you know, can it get any worse?
Or you don't want to say that to yourself.
Right. I know. But man, this is, just like I said, your story is remarkable. And I think for our listeners, we're talking to Rebecca Gregory, who survived the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. And you weren't even running. Like I said, this is obviously news and education for everyone that's listening. Because again, you know, for us to introduce you and say that you survived the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, everyone is going to assume that you were running in the marathon. And I am in total agreement. I don't know who in their right mind wants to run 26.2 miles, you know, just for
at once.
Just for the enjoyment. Like I said, I played, you know, we both played football, and I did Dancing with the Stars, and that was tiring. So I can imagine running 26.2 miles. But again, your story is so, so amazing. And Hatch has said it too. I mean, even when I told the crew about the team about bringing you on to the show, it's like, and I asked them, did they know about you? And so obviously we did our research, but you have, like I said, you have a book called Pain to Purpose. After going through this, and I know we're going to get into more, what do you think your purpose is? Because again, you just mentioned 6 months prior to this, you were just held at gunpoint in a parking lot. And now you experience something like this. Share with us what you think, you know, from a mental standpoint and just from a reflective standpoint, what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I bring that up is because I feel like my entire life I've been prepared to handle Boston, and whether or not that's true. Just even in my young life, my dad, my biological father, was an evangelist. And so he traveled all over the world preaching, but he would come home and beat my mother and I. And
oh, wow.
So I had a very abusive relationship with him. And from a very young age, trauma was a part of my life. And so it was either I learned how to swim or I was going to sink really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really a crazy experience, because on one hand, I had this really loving mom who did everything that she could to protect us. But then when my mom and dad got divorced and I had to go to his house on the weekends, I was living in really terrible conditions and taking care of my two sisters. And he was preaching, but also working at a casino, and he was a con man, and like all of these weird things that you wouldn't necessarily see if I didn't tell you everything. But I just feel like my whole life has been a series of these traumas. And I got into a car accident with a deer. The deer came through my windshield and his antler was lodged into my wrist. And so when they cut me out of the car, they were cutting a deer's antler out of my wrist. And all these things are normal to me. They're just stuff that happened.
That's not normal. Just so you know, that's not normal.
Hey, Rebecca, this is better than nine lives. You have a situation, you're better than nine lives.
Let me throw this in here. Do you play the lottery? Please tell me you play, because if you don't, I'm going to give you a dollar so you can play the lottery for me. Because
what? I'm going to give you a few dollars.
I don't feel like my odds have been very good, though, if you think about it like that. But but all that to say, you know, and we can talk about so many different things, but the trauma that I've experienced led me to realize how many children and families that were experiencing their own traumas that weren't getting mental health therapy and treatment that we were afforded in the aftermath of Boston. So the first thing that Noah, my five-year-old son, said to me when we got home, and I spent 56 days in the hospital. At first, I was in a medically induced coma, but he was in the hospital for 5 days, and he was taken to a completely separate hospital because they didn't know
that
him
and
I were together.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I was waking up, he was coming to visit me. And so that was just a really cool moment. Mm-hmm. But after 56 days of being in the hospital, my little boy came up and they wheeled me into my mom's house because I could no longer go to my own house. And he whispered in my ear and he said, "Mommy, don't worry. We're never leaving this house again." Mm-hmm. And I was just like, all of his security is gone at this point. He watched people lose their lives on that street that day. He saw everything that I did. And so I was dealing with my own PTSD, and that's when things really hit me when I left the hospital, because for so long, for, you know, those 2 months, I was in these four confined walls in the security of the doctors and the nurses and all of that. And so I didn't know how much of a toll that it would take on my own brain and spirit to have to leave that hospital and learn how to live a life after you were just in a terrorist attack. Yeah. And so I found out very quickly what PTSD was and what it meant for me. And I had so many nightmares, and I was scared to come out of my house. And I felt that every single backpack and purse and any type of luggage was a bomb. And it was in seeking the help for my son and myself that's when I saw how many other families were struggling. And so in this journey, and it's been a long one, you know, it didn't just happen overnight. I had to heal too, but now we've been able to turn our pain into what I believe is our purpose in our foundation, Rebecca's Angels.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, they say it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. And again, you have this glow, you have this positivity about who you are and what you're doing. And I can't commend you enough, because, as you know, T, especially, like I said, we always talk about transition and adversity on the show, you know, from celebrities and everyday people. But, you know, not everybody always comes out of the transition. You know, they don't always come out. There's still people that they get in this rut and they can't get out of it. You know, they end up on the street or on drugs. And again, I cannot commend you enough to, you know, for responding the way you have. And again, just for you to be here today on this earth is amazing, amazing to me. And like I said, I'm just enjoying the story. But thank you for just being that glowing and positive person.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys, because I feel like we have that decision to make every morning.
Absolutely. You
know, we either count our blessings or we count our problems. And absolutely. To me, I was 3 feet away from a bomb and I'm still here to talk to you about it. So my life is wonderful, and it doesn't matter what happens. You know, every time I reach for a prosthetic leg or a wheelchair, I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be a mom to my precious kids and a wife to my husband, and just try to make a difference.
Right. And yeah, speaking of your husband, I mean, obviously, like I said, I've witnessed, you know, some of your TikToks, things of that nature. And I know he's definitely in on a lot of the content. Before I go to the fun stuff, I know you talked about PTSD and things of that nature. And obviously you and your son obviously were diagnosed with that. And for, you know, people that are listening, PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. I want to know, kind of like, you mentioned some of the symptoms, and obviously is anxiety, and, you know, I can only imagine, you know, nightmares and flashbacks and things of that nature. What are some of the symptoms that you recognize, like, right away, not only for yourself, but your son? Because obviously that could be a lasting impact on your son, Noah. And like you said, at the time he was 5. And like I said, I can't imagine, you know, me having to go through this, what this traumatic experience that you went through with my son or daughter. So like Had said, we can't come up with enough words to share with you about, number one, how brave you are, how strong you are, listening to your story. Like you said, it's almost like you were built for this. And you talk about, you know, obviously growing up with a dad, it seems like he lived somewhat of a double life, going through the domestic violence, being a witness to some of that. But what are some, like I said, what are some of those triggers? And like I said, maybe you've, like I said, I don't know what your situation, how you feel now. But all I know is I go by your energy from what I've seen through the social media platforms. And I'm sure it's a daily battle. Are there any triggers for you as you still continue on with your life?
Yeah. So at first, Noah had some really big triggers. So he didn't want to leave the house. He didn't want to interact with the world, because he felt like everyone was kind of out to get us, which I was feeling too, but I was kind of trying to hide that from him, because I was supposed to be strong mom.
Right.
One of the interesting ones is that he wouldn't get back on his bike. He didn't. Very like happy-go-lucky, and then all of a sudden he didn't want to ride a bike. He didn't want to play like he used to, and so he was content. And I was in a bed for 18 months. I don't think we've talked about that yet. So they didn't take my leg right away. They wanted to try and save it. Mm-hmm. And I looked like a shark's leftovers. I mean, I'm just going to try to paint the picture because taken out of my leg. I mean, just of muscle and tissue and bone. I had 80% of the bones in my foot and ankle completely gone. I had a whole bone through my left foot. And so they took back muscle out of my back to put it in my foot to try and save it. Obviously, I don't have that foot anymore, so I'd love that back muscle back.
Wow.
And so Noah had to experience that with me for a year and a half. And I felt like he was getting a little too content with just kind of laying in bed and watching movies or reading books or something. And so I could just see his personality start to drain a little bit. And that's really what made me worry. And that's one of the big things. It's like, as parents, we know when there's something off with our kids. I think that's just that intuition. And so that's a big thing. It's just like the withdrawal from things that you used to care about and being very anxious and nervous about things. For me, it was more of, it was almost like coming back from the military. I've spoken to a lot of veterans about this, because even when we would go out to restaurants, I would have to have a seat where I could see everyone. I didn't want anyone behind me.
Oh, wow.
And so that, things like that. But what we've learned and we're so thankful for is a process called accelerated resolution therapy. And there are ways to reprocess our most traumatic memories. So I've studied psychology for the last 7 years, and I've really become just so intrigued with how our mind operates. And there's ways to reprocess and heal from those traumas, because sometimes trauma isn't filed right in the brain. And there's ways to make all of that heal. And you don't just have to live with it or cope with it. You can actually reprocess everything that you've been through. And it's helped us tremendously. It's been life-saving.
Wow, man. So courageous. So again, so now your son is 12, 13-ish, right?
Just turned 13 this week.
Okay. Happy birthday, Noah.
Happy birthday, right? So does it still come up, or he's kind of, you know, he doesn't think about it as much? Is he doing kid things and, you know, just going to play with the kids? How's he doing?
Yeah, Noah's doing awesome. So he's 13. He's your typical teenager. He's so sweet. I'm really proud of him for the amount of compassion that he has. And I think it has to do with a lot of things that we've been through. But he doesn't have those triggers anymore. And that's good. What we're really thankful for. And it's more of a story. Like, it's funny because he's got a scar on the back of his head where a piece of shrapnel grazed him. And then he's got another one on his leg. And anytime that we meet someone new and they ask what happened, he's like, oh, I got blown up by a bomb. You know,
just randomly, you know, that's what I do.
There's some people that are like, no, you're lying. He's like
no, he's not lying. Right.
Like, hey, lady, man, you have no idea.
Right.
I have a question. Obviously you said, over like 80% of your leg was blown to pieces. Did you take most of the brunt of the bomb? Were there other individuals near you that got the exposure to the bomb as you did? And if so, have you talked or met any of them?
So there's 17 amputees from the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's 5 people that lost their lives, 3 that day, and then 2 police officers later on. And so we kind of call it our Boylston Street family. And it's been really nice to have, because people just, you know, you can try and talk about it, but it's very comforting when someone has been there and knows. And it's been really great. But yeah, I mean, there's people that lost Jeff Bowman, he's wonderful. He lost both of his legs. So very fortunate. And there's like guilt that comes with that too, which is hard because it's the guilt of surviving. So why was I spared and this other woman wasn't? Why is
right?
So you can ask yourself all those questions and you can beat yourself up, especially with taking my son to the marathon in the first place. That was a really hard thing. Like if Noah hadn't have been there, if I would have listened to all the signs that I was getting, then he wouldn't have been there at all. And he wouldn't have to deal with like anything, but I can't think like that. And I think when things happen in our lives, we have to move forward. And every day we have that chance to hit our reset button. And maybe something didn't go as planned yesterday, but you wake up and you're breathing, you have purpose and you can change every part of your life by just believing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's such a mental game. It's all a mental game.
Yeah, and definitely what you've gone through when you talk about faith and determination and just belief. And obviously, like I said, the title of your book is called Taking My Life Back. So people that, you know, want to know about your story, please go out and get this book. You wrote this book in 2017. Your story of faith, determination, and surviving the Boston Marathon bombing. Like I said, when we first started this thing, like I said, what captured my attention is just, like I said, before I even knew what was going on, I just saw your energy. It was just something that radiated through those social media platforms. And I'm on TikTok. I have a few,
Yeah, you're on TikTok way too much, way too much.
And so, and that's the thing. That's the beauty about TikTok. You can just scroll through there. I mean, nonstop, and just find so much content and so much, so many different, you know, genres of people that are on there. And so I came across, you know, your page, and I'm like, oh my gosh! And so I just stopped on it and I started watching some of the clips. And one of the funniest ones that I saw, and I shared this with the team, it was, and obviously your husband, he was recording. And so I didn't know what you were doing. You were standing at the ATM. So everybody just listen to this. This is Rebecca Gregory. Like I said, survivor of the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. And obviously, like I said, go to her TikTok. Her name is Rebecca Gregory. Rebecca is R-E-B-E-K-A-H. And so you're standing there at the ATM and he asks you a question. And he goes, I don't know what the question is. He goes, honey, what are you doing or whatever? And you look back at him at the camera and he goes, oh, I'm just checking my balance. And I'm like, what? And so I had to look. I'm like, what? Checking your balance? It went over my head for a second.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And then I look and I'm like, oh, snap. She's on one leg.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is crazy. And that showed, right, that the subtle humor. But just the fact that you've come such a long ways to kind of put this in the rearview mirror, and you can make fun of yourself and not of the event, but that's part of who you are, to heal, move on from it. And like you said, being a mom and being strong for your son, Noah, that you can look back at this and like, yeah, it was a traumatic, terrifying event, but you persevered. As I said, your faith has brought you thus far. And like I said, again, your energy, it just radiated. It exudes through everything that you're doing. So again, we appreciate you coming on. Sharing your stories. But this is amazing just to hear. Like you said, you pain to purpose. That is such a great title. And just to hear your story. And I think this should be really an inspiration to anybody that is going through anything traumatic. Not as terrifying as this, but you are a believer and your faith has brought you thus far. So again, we appreciate all that you're sharing with us today.
And you know what's funny with especially with athletes, right? We just, especially when you're like after your fourth or fifth year, when you're a professional athlete, you've been playing, and we think we're invincible, right? So literally all we've been doing is grabbing from space all this I'm invincible stuff, and I'm the best, I'm the biggest, and I can do anything. That didn't come from an experience like you had, right? You can sit there 2020, you've beaten this mental game that we think as athletes that we never beat it because we've never been challenged like that. You see what I'm saying? Like you were physically emotionally, spiritually challenged, and you overcame and you won. For us, we were making stuff up, you know, just to overcome and just to be able to say, yeah, I'm unstoppable. I'm invincible. I'm the best. I'm the biggest. I'm the baddest, whatever. But you've went through these things and you've came out on the other side and you can really, you know, pound your chest saying I'm a beast, because you're an absolute beast from what you've went through it. And again, to come out on the other side of a mental struggle like you have, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Well, you guys are awesome. And it's about the pain to purpose, right? Because no matter what, everyone can resonate with knowing what pain feels like in their life. And we all search for what we're put on this earth for and our purpose. And, you know, I say that the majority of people are not going to get blown up by a bomb at a marathon, but everyone has life blow up in their face. And that's just right. How it is. But we have that decision every day of whether or not we're going to allow our obstacles to defeat us, or we're going to say, no, life is still good. It's still beautiful. I'm still here. And I remember in 2015, I had to testify at the trial of the remaining bomber. To do that, to have that call, first off, I had my amputation done in November of 2014. And in January, I got my leg. I named her Felicia, by the way, because Friday, the Bye Felicia, because I'm like, I've been laying in a bed for 18 months and I'm going to go. And so I, you know, that year was a big year for me, because I said, I'm not going to be defeated by this. I am not going to let these terrorists win. And I ended up having the FBI agent come into my rehab room of my amputation. I just got my leg chopped off. And they said, hope you're feeling better. By the way, Rebecca, you're going to have to testify in the trial coming up. And I'm like,
wow.
Can you give me just a minute?
Right. Give me a minute. Yeah.
Process, what you're trying to have me do. And at first I'm like, no, that's a terrible idea. Why? But I want to go testify. But then I got to thinking about it and I said, you know, if something that I say I can impact the jury or the judge by, then it's my responsibility to do that. And at first I had to go and give my testimony and I cried and I wanted him to look at me. I was so like, I just, that's all I wanted. I wanted to lock eyes with him so he knew that he didn't win.
Could you talk to him today? You have talked to him?
No, I haven't, but I mean,
talk to him?
I would.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the cool part, though, is that I gave my testimony, but I was also called back to Boston and the U.S. attorney called me and he said, we need you to give a victim impact statement. And I'm like, what the heck is a victim impact statement? So here I am Googling, you know, what is this? And because I had never been part of a federal trial before. And what it is it's a statement that the jury and the judge reads right before they make their final decision. And so, and it usually entails what these people have taken away from you or how been altered. And listen, I saw him in court leaning back in his chair, fiddling with pencil, his attorneys rubbing him on the back. He's making jokes. He's not acknowledging the jury. Like, all of these terrible things, while people come in and rehash every horrific detail of this event that he's proud of because he showed absolutely no remorse.
So seems like he had no contrition.
Yeah. He was in, as a matter of fact, one of the days he put up a middle finger in the camera of holding cell as like kind of like a bleep you to America. So I'm like, I'm not going to give this guy any more satisfaction than what he already has. I submitted my statement and the U.S. attorney's like, well, you're going last. And what I did was I stood up in front of him and for the very first time, he locked eyes with me and his eyes were black. It was almost like he was just
no soul. Yep.
And you know, you can really tell a lot of something by someone's eyes and by the way that they interact. And I could just tell, like, I felt like I was staring at the face of the devil.
That's why T wears sunglasses. He's the devil.
I'm the best looking devil in the United States.
You handsome devil, you.
Exactly.
So I go ahead, Rebecca.
I love it. I stood up and I locked eyes with him and I said, and I had memorized this. I was like, there is no backing down. And I said, I was asked to give a victim impact statement today. But in order to do that, I would have to be someone's victim. And I'm not yours, and I'm not your brother's. And I went on to say that this one act of hate that stretched a couple hundred feet, we've seen an act of love that stretched hundreds of thousands of miles. And that he didn't take my life, he saved it. Because now I promise him for the rest of the time that I have left that I'm going to do my part, my small part, in making the world a better place. And that's a promise that I have kept with me for the last 5 years. And every day that I don't feel like getting out of bed, that's where my mind goes. Because if I allow myself to be defeated, then those brothers have won. And I will never allow that to happen.
Wow. Is that
powerful?
Is this I'm almost speechless just hearing you say that. And then you are a strong individual. I mean, like I said, I can't imagine or fathom what you've gone through, but just to hear, you know, to hear those words and how profound you were. And like you said, to have it memorized, you let him know that you weren't going to be defeated. That promise you made to yourself. And then obviously you're sharing not only with your son, your family, but sharing to the world, you know, what it takes to persevere and really understand and reflect on your purpose. Tell us a little bit about your Rebecca's Angels Foundation. Does that fall into, your statement to him? Does that kind of trickle down or into your Angels Foundation, Rebecca's Angels Foundation?
Yeah, I think that every part of it trickles down to that, because if I didn't have something that I was fighting for every day, then it would be a lot easier to say, okay, putting on a leg sucks every morning. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's never going to be fun to not have a leg, but it's doable. And there's so many times in our lives where we can't see the next chapter. And a lot of times we're worried about stuff that may or may not even happen. And so I look at life as, you know what? Life is not easy and it's not perfect. And there are going to be times where it doesn't make sense. But when you take those expectations away and you just look at what you have right now, and a lot of that for me is just being thankful and in the moment, I feel so thankful to wake up every day.
And right. Yeah. Angels, amen.
You know, we have all of these families from all across the country that we've heard all of these horrific stories about what they've gone through. And it's really important that we not only help the children, but also the family members, because I am a product of generational trauma and I know what that's like. And so I want to try to help that. And all of these families that we've helped over 150 families since we've been established in 2018. And it's like when I get letters or cards or something from them saying, thank you, you give me hope for the next chapter. Like, what more could I ever ask for in my life? And I want my kids to realize that, you know, what they see on social media and all of these filters that we put on everything, like, that's not the real world. Like, the real world is messy, and we have to be vulnerable and transparent. And going back to what you said about TikTok, like, my husband and I just discovered TikTok a couple months ago, and I've never been good at social media because I don't know how everyone does all the pretty filtered poses.
Yeah, me neither. I'm with you. I'll be trying to figure it out. My phone overheats or something. I can't do it.
I'm like, they're beautiful, but I just don't have the time to figure out where my hand goes. And
I get it. Yes. But some people need the filters. You and I, we don't need the filters. We're beautiful.
Wow.
Hatch on the other hand. He will have to use all the features on filters to enhance that face.
Oh my gosh, killer event. But TikTok especially, like, I think you can get on there and you can just be silly, and you, the personality really comes through. And
it was
my husband and I goofing off, having fun during quarantine. Right. What else is there to do? I've gotten a lot of letters and things from people or messages about, you know, you gave me the courage to post my talk with my leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, awesome. I want to go work out because I saw you in the gym, and, like, on one leg. And so it's like, we all have that power to make a difference in someone's lives, but we have to break down those walls of filters and say, look, I'm kind of a hot mess. And if you want to be a hot mess with me, I will listen. I will
listen
to you. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just really enjoy that aspect.
I think we were on the show, had a show a couple of weeks ago as well. And not like your story, but he had said that when he was 5 years old, he saw an older guy, and that was kind of his inspiration to go into his, into his profession. And that's what it is. Like, you don't know who's watching you. You know, it's like, you're just, you have to just be positive, be a good person, you know, go do your thing. And the people gravitate to you if it's authentic. And, it, you know, you're being authentic, and that's why the people are gravitating to you. And like I said, those texts and messages and DMs and all that that's coming to you, it's deserved because of your authenticity. Like, that's the bottom line.
Well, thank you so much. I just feel like we're all given an opportunity to make the world a better place.
And, absolutely.
You know, we all have our God-given talents and abilities. You know, I can't be out on a football field, but...
Yeah, and none of us on here can, including him over there. He can't neither. Hey,
don't let him fool you. I'm the best. Besides you, Rebecca, I'll say I'm the second best looking thing and athletic person on this virtual call right here. But I want to touch on something too. I mean, obviously we've mentioned your son, but we've mentioned your husband a couple of times. What has that been like for him? Because I'm sure he had to have had to deal with everything as well. I'm not sure if you guys were together or married at the time or whatever. I don't really know that. Can you tell us a little bit about your husband?
Oh, he's going to love this. His head is so big after this interview. Okay, so my husband and I we went to college together at Eastern University. And we dated for a little while. Both of us needed to grow up a little bit. We went our separate ways, and we reconnected in 2015. So after
This was after the bombing.
This was after. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it was just really amazing because I had a really abusive relationship before that, and I was kind of not looking for anything, but I was at a really good place in my life. I felt strong. I felt like I was mentally just better than ever. And it's amazing what happens when it's like that, because God sends you those people and you're like, oh, okay. And he was in town. I was living in Texas, in Houston at the time. And I saw him on Facebook that he was visiting one of our friends from college that I didn't know lived maybe 20 minutes away from me. And I was like,
wow.
Hey, let's go to my friend's steakhouse and, you know, hang out and touch base and catch up. And that night it was like, nothing ever had happened, or we had never separated for this long time. And it was just really amazing. And he told me, like, shortly after, he said, I'm going to move to Texas and we're going to get married. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And so 4.5 months later, we were married on a beach in Jamaica.
That's awesome. And you all had a kid together as well, right?
Yes. And in Boston, they told me I would never be able to have another baby because I had so many internal injuries as well. Riley was premature, and I almost lost my life again giving birth to her because of my complications from Boston, and I had a placenta abruption. And they pulled my husband over to the side, bless his heart, and they said, you know, we don't know if your wife's going to make it. We don't know if your baby's going to make it. And it was just a really scary time. But she spent about a month in the NICU on a ventilator and fighting for her life. And you'd never know it now. She turned 4 in May and doing wonderful. So
awesome. That's awesome.
And what is your husband? What is your husband's name? If I may ask,
his name is Chris Varney.
Chris. Varney, Chris Varney. What's up, Chris Varney? Congratulations, man.
You don't even know. You don't know what's happening right now. Do you know when you messaged me on Instagram asking me to be on the podcast, he's like, Tio, Tio. Big 49ers fan. So when you
awesome
49ers, that was so
hey Chris, that's a bad choice. I'm just letting you know right now. Bad choice.
Hey, but you know what? I mean, I again, you have to, your family has gone through so much, and there are some strong characters, some strong individuals in this family, in this household. And just like I said, I had to bring up Chris because I'm like, man, we keep saying your husband, and I know I didn't know his name, and I knew he was present, and I'm like, okay, well, that says a lot about who he is, his character. Again, because like I said, you know, not many people would be receptive to dating somebody obviously with one leg. You know what I mean? Just to be put it plain and simple. For you and me, just watching this and just play out, this is the essence. This is true love. This is pure love for him. Obviously, you guys to reconnect. Man, this is an awesome
randomly
story.
through Facebook. You know,
man, this is an awesome story, and I'm hoping our listeners that's listening to this can really grasp something from this story. Just from the standpoint of you persevering, again, you almost losing your life again, with the birth of your 4-year-old Riley, bless her heart. You have been through so much, but you, not to keep harping on that, but you are an inspiration. You are a blessing. When you talk about pain and purpose, you are people's beacon of light, beacon of hope. And I hope people understand, you know, and gravitate to your message of what you've gone to. And trust me, I'm going to get your book. I'm not going to ask you to send it to me. I'm going to find it. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to read it. Because again, when you talk about what you've gone through, so much emotional pain and physical pain, and to now understand your purpose, you are, like I said, you are the best example of pain to purpose. Rebecca Gregory, we have here. I mean, this is awesome just to have you.
And again, let the audience know where they can find your book, and where they can find your Pain to Purpose podcast as well.
So my book's on Amazon, and Pain to Purpose podcast is anywhere where you get your podcasts. So I'm really excited because that's a new venture for me. So we've only been released for I think a month now, and it's going really well. So I love talking to people. This is my favorite part, is just getting to know people and their stories and everything that they've been through. And I love, Terrell, that you touched on, you know, saying my husband's name, Chris, because he's often in the background. He tries to be in the background a lot, and I want people to know, like, I would not be who I am without him. He does everything. I mean, when I don't feel good and I don't have a leg on, like, he's pushing me in my wheelchair. You know, there's often times where I go to the gym if I'm having an operation done or something and I don't have a leg, like, I'm on crutches, and my husband just deals with all of that and never complains. And
awesome,
he's amazing.
Do you guys come up with just creative content or just jokes about your leg? But even just almost like, I'm silly like that, and so is this guy right here.
Yeah.
But just listening that you tell the story about you not having your leg on, to me, I'm like, yeah, and he's always having your back. When you just have your one leg on, and obviously he has two legs, he has one leg up on you. He's one leg up on you.
Not only does he have your back, he has your leg. He's got
right.
You.
He's one leg up on you. Just tell me about, like, do you just randomly come up with just funny stories, or does it just happen naturally? Because like I said, the funniest thing is like you standing at the ATM. And then the other one that I saw, and there's a number, I didn't go digging because I wanted to talk to you. I didn't look at all your content and all the stories that you posted. But the other one was, you were sitting down and you said something about, you took your leg off and you put it back on, and you said something about I'm starting my day off on the wrong foot or something like that. I was like, yo, I'm like, this girl, she is hilarious. I'm like, that's her funny. Energy, her spirit. Like, love it. Do you just come up with content naturally? Or do you both just go back and forth? Or is it just something that happens naturally?
It honestly happens naturally. We're such goofballs and we love to have fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And there's so much heavy stuff. Like, my story is heavy. I mean, and people just start crying and I'm like, it's okay, you know? Mm-hmm. But TikTok, like, we just started coming up with these videos about things that happen in our daily life. We had one, it was really funny. I had forgotten to put my shoe on one day. And Chris took out the phone and videoed it because that happens all the time. When you don't have that you can feel, like, how many times I walk out of the house without a shoe?
What? That's something I wouldn't be able to relate to that. That's hilarious.
Right, exactly. That's something that's hilarious. I can't imagine. Like, I'm sure your life has been impacted in so many ways. And I'm glad you brought up that because I'm like, yeah, you're so used to just putting on one shoe or one sock. You just go about your day. And obviously, I like the way you say you like talking about this. Number one, my first question, is it therapy for you? That's number one. And my next question would be, obviously, I just mentioned about how it's impacted your life. Like, what are some of the struggles that you've had to encounter? I don't know if you drive or any of those things. Like, help us out. Share some of that with us.
I mean, it impacts my life so much. There's so many daily things that, you know, if you don't have a leg, so think about your whole day just hopping on one leg. Because that's generally what I do if I'm home. Mm-hmm. And so that means, you know, no longer putting 2 feet on the ground. That means not feeling the foot that I have. So even I was at a conference one day and I was headed home and I was in the airport and I was running late for my flight. So I'm running through the airport and I lose my shoe and I don't even know it. And I get to my gate and this guy comes up to me. He's like huffing and puffing. And he's like, I think you dropped this. And I'm like, how do you know it's mine?
Right. The Cinderella moment. Cinderella dropped her shoe, right?
That's become my nickname on TikTok is Cinderella, which I think is so funny.
That's funny.
Wow.
And I mean, it's, you know, it's things like... It's
what so about crazy. Taking a shower? Like, all these things.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I still have shrapnel. So there's so many when the brothers packed these pressure cookers, because they were crock pots essentially, and they packed them with nails and ball bearings and beads and shards of metal. It ripped into our bodies. And I still have hundreds of pieces that cause damage and cause issues. So I continually have to have surgeries. If I have a surgery, I can't put my leg on for a number of weeks to months. And it's just kind of the aftermath of getting blown up by a bomb. I can either think about how unfair that is, or I can suck it up and say, hey, I'm going to make silly TikTok jokes about my leg.
Yeah, right. What about going through this the metal detectors through the airport?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it.
Like, you have to really get there in like 2 or 3 hours to get to your gate before time.
It's so funny. I have so many metal detector stories because everyone is different in the way that they approach me. You know, some people don't know how to take it. Because when I have pants on, you cannot tell that I have a
right.
And right. I think that I worked out immediately after I lost my leg. I wanted to get very strong and build up those muscles. And I went to the mall and I would mimic other people's steps. So I totally looked like a stalker, but I was trying to make sure that I was putting enough effort on both sides because I was automatically wanting to limp.
Right. And compensation.
I got to where I could, you know, do that with no problem. So you can't tell unless I have shorts on that I have a fake leg. So a lot of times I freak people out a little bit at the airport when I'm going through with pants and then all of a sudden the thing's going off and I'm like, oh, by the way.
Oh my God, this is crazy to me. You said, by the way, do you
check this out?
Yeah, can I take my leg off and put it through this conveyor belt?
Yeah. Oh my God.
This is crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people ask me to, I have to go into a room and take my pants off and take my leg off, and that's not legal, I found out. So we don't do that. But right.
Oh, you know, wow.
It's always one of the, I've got to pat down, I've got to check my hands. And so, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I've gotten on the airplane without my shoe on, and I've had to go down the tarmac to baggage claim without a shoe because I didn't realize I lost that in the airport. I mean,
oh my gosh. Oh my God. We wow. gotta get we gotta get you some shoes that'll stay on your feet.
Yeah. Hey Nike. Come on, Nike, y'all know what to do. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah, we gotta make you some shoes that's gonna stick to your feet. I mean,
or when they come off, like give it a little alarm or something, a little bell goes
right.
off.
Exactly.
But I promised myself that I'd do everything on a fake leg, that, and even more, like even the things that I didn't do on two real legs. So I became a runner for a short time. I can't do that now because my leg is just not working properly. So I fell in love with weightlifting, and I go to the gym 5 to 6 days a week. And I just love that because I don't want to think that those brothers took anything from me. I mean, yeah,
right.
I have a fake leg, but
absolutely.
I'm a robot, and I wear bracelets on it and, you know, bling it up just like your beautiful headphones there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. You're going to bedazzle that prosthetic. Yeah.
That's
make
right.
it look real yep. nice.
Gotta,
no doubt.
Fun with what you can't change. And it's so one of my favorite TikToks that we just did was someone asked me to go to IHOP and ask for a job application.
That's hilarious. that's funny.
And I popped into IHOP. I'm not a joke.
That's hilarious.
And I asked for a job application.
Oh,
that
my
is hilarious.
Gosh. I am looking at, you know what? I'm hoping I see you in a commercial somewhere soon. Number one, because like I said, I just love your energy. You're very positive, regardless of what you've gone through. And again, like I said, you are a beacon of hope, a beacon of light for a number of people. And when people think that they've gone through the worst of the worst, again, like I said, they can think about this podcast, go to your TikTok, read your book. You are an inspiration to so many. So again, like I said, we can't thank you enough for coming on this show. Like I said, I mean, you are an amazing individual, and like I said, you're strong, you've persevered, and yeah, man, this is amazing just to have you on our show. I know your husband, Chris, is probably amazed at me reaching out, but that's just who I am. I'm a person, like I said, I'm a very caring individual. I love life. I love people. And just like I said, it was just something about you when I saw you. I didn't really know much about it. I just saw TikTok. I just saw your smile. And it was just something. Then I just started just going deeper into, you know, to your TikTok. So again, Rebecca, we thank you so much
for
coming on here and just sharing your story. And for everybody that don't know, we have the lovely Miss Rebecca Gregory right here. You guys can check her out. Let them know your TikTok name. I know you're on Instagram as well. Shoot everybody, because I want everybody to receive the same energy that resonated and exuded through your TikTok. Let everybody know what your TikTok handle is.
My TikTok handle is Rebecca M. Gregory, and it's R-E-B-E-K-A-H-M Gregory. And actually everything social media wise is the same. So
okay. Your Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. All that's the same.
Yeah, and yeah, people that are listening, please go get her book. She's 2017, came out. She wrote it in 2017. It's called Taking My Life Back. Yeah, my story of faith, determination, and surviving the Boston Marathon bombing. And for people that don't know, she was not running, people. She was not in the race. So
chocolate-covered pretzels.
chocolate-covered pretzels. And what's so amazing, too, is that the fact that your maternal instincts, even though you were lying there, you thought about your son, that there was so much going on, and you were just laying there just lifeless, and you said you couldn't even move anything but your head. I can only imagine, and obviously with cinematography, when you explain this, I'm picturing a movie. and the movie being in such silence, obviously, like I said, to kind of illustrate that you've lost sort of like your hearing, and certain things are amplified and some things are just drowned out, and you saw and you heard your son's voice. That is so, like, that's such a dramatic scene to me. Like, man, everybody please go out and check her, get her book. She's also the host of her own podcast, Pain to Purpose. Man, we thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on this podcast with us.
Yes, thank you. Beautiful person, beautiful spirit, and inspiration to the world. Thank you very much. I commend you. Like, you won the mental game. You won it.
and obviously, like I said, whenever you want one of us to come on your podcast, definitely let one of us know. I don't know why you would want him on there.
Because she doesn't want haters on her social. So you're not on it. You're a hater. You can't be on it.
But yeah, we're open. Whenever you want to have one or both of us on the show, just let us know. We thank you so much for your time. Obviously, we know we got you got your kids, you got some things to take care of. We don't want to take too much of your time, but I want to say give a shout out to your son Noah, Riley, and the backbone Chris. of the family. Chris, we appreciate you. Man, we love your spirit, your heart, and I appreciate you being a 49er fan and a T.O. fan.
He ain't no T.O. fan. He's a 49er fan. Get it right. No, thank you very much, Rebecca. Keep doing your thing.
It's been such an honor, and this has been such a fun conversation. So I look forward to keeping in touch, and we'll definitely set up when you guys can come on the podcast. So thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to, he don't know anything about TikTok, but I'm going to look through your TikToks, and I might have to do a duet or something.
That would be so fun.
Absolutely. And if we're in this, close proximity of each other, like I said, I'm up here in Deerfield. Yeah. Deerfield Beach near Fort Lauderdale. If you're ever in the area, just let us know. I would love to meet you in person. Like I said, we can even do a TikTok together or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, TikTok would be good. You could take off your legs, he can take off his face. There you go. Perfect.
Let's do it. I'm all for it. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
I love it. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you guys, have a wonderful day.
You as all well.
You did too.
Bye. All right. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we try to inspire. We try to let people know about people's other adversities in life, their transitions in life. But of course, we have never spoken to anyone that has a story like she had.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. If you were fortunate to hear her story, if you didn't come out of this being encouraged, then you don't have a pulse.
I'm wrong with you.
you don't have a pulse. And for somebody like her, again, she has found her purpose. I like the title and how reflective she's been since the bombing in 2013, and just how impactful she's been able to really touch other people's lives based on what she's gone through. And she's gone through a lot, not just this marathon bombing. We got our chance to hear a little bit of how she grew up, how she was raised, and how all of that prepared her for that bombing that happened in 2013.
Yeah, and I think people have to understand it's not exactly where you are today. You know, it's you got to build to where you're going to be in 5 years, 10 years. And you have whatever you're going through is preparing you to be stronger in 5, 10 years or 2 years from now. So again, the inspiration that she is to hopefully, some of our listeners, it's just an amazing story, but people take something away from it. Don't just listen and then throw, right? Take something away. It might change some of you people's lives. I hope it does. Change my life. That's
absolutely. I'm so just at a loss for words, Hatch, because man, just to see, and obviously we talked to her and just to hear her energy that she speaks with.
Positiveness.
It just radiates, it radiates through these audio waves. And obviously we got to see her virtually through this Zoom. Her spirit is just, it's lively. And you would never, like I said, if you would never know that. If you didn't actually just talk to her and see her. And then again, like I said, I ran across her by scrolling through TikTok. and on social media. So again, I had to bring her on, and I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk to her and for her to just share with us and our many listeners, our hundreds and thousands of listeners, about what she's gone through from an emotional standpoint, physical standpoint. And it's something that she deals with daily. And I like the fact that she's able to, I mean, she's a speaker, she's an author, she's a podcaster. She's using these platforms to inspire and impact others on how her life has been impacted on this one day. And what was so eerie about this day is that she said, I remember she said that, you know, she had to go back and she watched footage, the surveillance cameras, and this guy, the bomber, actually bumped into
her.
Oh, man, that gave me chills. And for her to have to relive that, man, it was just, man, it was eerie. It was just, it was phenomenal to hear. You know what I mean? It was just, man.
I tell you what, if somebody bump into me, I am patting them down right then and there. I'm just letting you know right now.
Man, and again, like I said, she talked about, again, just the symptoms of PTSD, the anxiety, the triggers. Man, I can't imagine now. Again, just think about her kids are 4. Riley is 4. Mm-hmm. And who she almost lost. She almost lost her life, you know, giving birth to her 4-year-old Riley. Mm-hmm. And then Noah. Just think about what happened. And the bomb was in a backpack. Don't you know that her kids are 4 and 13? Going to school. What do you get your kids?
Wearing backpacks.
What do you get your kid? What do you give your kids? What do you go school shopping for? Supplies to put their supplies in. A backpack. That's a constant and instant reminder. So I can't imagine, you know, what she has gone through. But again, talking with her, seeing her smile, hearing her energy. I even heard her smile just to know that she's on the other side. Of this thing, and she's been a positive influence to people that, again, they're going through things, but it's not as bad as what they think.
Oh no, not even close. And I think that brings us to our three and out segment, because one of the things that she was telling us about, kind of how she is so grounded in 2020, is her like the generational trauma that she went through growing up. Again, she said like the life she went through prepared her to go through that whole process of being a survivor.
Right. And I would have to say, like I said, let's just explain to everybody our three and out. Three and out is where we basically kind of just gather all the information, we just kind of reflect on the whole conversation, and we pick out our top three things that resonated or just that were profound throughout the interview. It's usually an hour and a half, depending on how much time our guests have. But our three and out, we picked three top things that kind of just stuck out in our minds and our heads about these individuals. And so as you were alluding to Hatch, number one, I would have to say that would be the generational trauma. Just having her explain how, again, growing up in an abusive household, her dad was an evangelist, and obviously he would come home. He basically preach on Sundays, come home, and beat up on his mom, beat up on her mom,
and her. She said,
right, yeah. So these are some of the things. Like I said, you never know a person's story until you hear their story or you're in their shoes. And so obviously we can't get in but one of her shoes. But you know, but we're so glad she was able to again share that story and then make fun and be light with the stories, and just having a good spirit about, you know, everything that she's gone through.
Absolutely. Then I think number two, how she wakes up every morning, she just hits the reset button. Like she knows she's in control of her thoughts that day. There's a chance to. It can be an obstacle or it can be an opportunity. You know, of course, people out there like, oh, I have to do this and oh, I got to do that. Right. It's like, why have that attitude of negativity just to start off the day? Like, use it as an opportunity to get better. Like, I'm looking forward to do this. I'm looking, you know, I can't wait to do this. Like that type of attitude, it, you know, that's what can wake you up in the morning having a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, what's that? That's number two. Just two. Like I said, the reset. Number three.
Like I said, she's a survivor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like she's went through so many things, right? She was almost died pretty much four stories, but that's what we heard. And we only talked to her for an hour.
Right. And I'm glad we only went an hour because ain't no telling. I didn't want to hear no more.
Right.
But just with what she's gone through already was enough for me to know that she is the epitome of survivor. Trust me, if you look in the dictionary and look up the word survivor, she should be right by that word. Again, let's talk about, you know, some of the near death experiences. I mean, one was in the parking lot, but she said
the Walmart.
Six months prior to the bombing. And as I mentioned in number one, these are some of the generational things of trauma that has prepared her to be on the platform and share her story now. Getting held at gunpoint in the parking lot of a Walmart.
The car accident with the deer.
Right, the deer antler stuck in a hand. And then obviously going through the bombing itself, her doctor is basically saying that she wouldn't be able to have a bear kids, you know, because of some of the internal
injuries
trauma that she's had. And then
while she was in birth, she almost died again, having birth to her four-year-old daughter now, Riley.
Absolutely. So, man, I mean, you talk about someone with nine lives, bro.
Powerful.
This was amazing. This is by far one of my favorite, if not the favorite show that we've had and the guests that we've had on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. But man, her story is nothing short of inspiring, spectacular. And again, she's very grateful for the life that she has and she lives today.
And we're grateful for you, Rebecca Gregory, coming on the show today, blessing us again. Thank you for the story. Thank you for the spirit. Thank you for the energy. You know, again, we can't appreciate you more telling your story, influencing millions of people across this world. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No doubt. And you see us post on our social media platforms, our Insta story, what have you. Definitely subscribe, swipe up, and share. We need everybody to really put our show on the map. It's Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast with T.O. and Hatch, however you want to put it. And then, like I said, we release every Tuesday the audio version of our show. And if you want to see our beautiful and handsome faces, we definitely will share that on my YouTube channel. The video portion of the show on my YouTube channel is youtube.com/Terrell Owens.
Peace.